to
That's Our Jam.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Tracy.
And this is episode 9.
9, guys. It's the penultimate episode of season 1.
Here we are.
Here we are.
I can't believe it.
It's happened so fast.
So fast. And have we got a show for you today?
We have a great show for you today. And it kicked off with my girl and yours, the great Amanda Lee Moore. We share a middle name. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Spelled the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Kindred spirits.
Yes, it's true. I'll talk about Mandy Moore a little later, but that song you just heard is called Drop the Pilot off of her Coverage CD, which I can also talk about later.
I cannot wait.
But guys, Mandy Moore. Hashtag Mandy Moore Mondays.
Hashtag Mandy Moore Mondays.
Today's a Wednesday, or it depends on when you're listening to this.
That's true.
So
you should listen to Mandy Moore.
Listen to Mandy Moore all the days. But we're going to start off with something else because it is October. What?
It's October.
I meant to be spooky. Spooky, scary.
We can add a sound effect in there or something.
Probably not.
Okay.
We're low budge here.
Low budge.
Because it's October and it's almost Halloween.
Can't believe it.
We thought we'd talk about scary movies, but not the type that you'd think.
No. We want to talk about scary movies that are scary because they actually have or could happen. And not just like, oh, I could get murdered by somebody with a chainsaw in my abandoned shed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I could be walking down the street and get shot because I'm misinterpreted as a suspect in a crime. Type of scary.
When you said that, all I pictured in my head was the movie Ghost featuring Patrick Swayze.
Ugh, which I've never seen, but...
It's fine, because I saw it for the first time like last year. It is great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not scary.
I mean, there's a part where... spoiler alert.
It's fine.
He becomes a ghost.
That's spoiler.
The premise
Wait,
of the story.
Wait, he's the ghost?
Yeah. He gets stabbed. Stabbed? I'm pretty sure he gets stabbed in an alleyway. And then he doesn't haunt per se, but he stays with Demi Moore.
This whole time, I've always thought it was the opposite. I thought she was the ghost.
No,
he's
the ghost.
But played by Whoopi Goldberg?
No, she's like a psychic.
Oh.
And he uses her to speak to Demi Moore.
That's so sad.
It's a great movie.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight. Anyways.
So
That's not the type of movie we're talking about.
Yeah. The type of movie we're talking about is my number one that I always say is my, cause I don't really like scary movies.
Yeah, neither
per se.
Do I.
My number one scariest movie that will freak the freak out of you is Requiem for a Dream, which, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but
I actually haven't, but I don't want to now that you've told me about
it. It's about drug addicts and it gets real deep into like close-ups of people shooting up, you know, heroin. Ugh.
I don't like
it's
that.
The type of movie where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to become a drug user.
Yeah. I mean, that's the type of thing where it's like, I have an addictive personality and that's part of the reason I never use drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like I would be dead by now because I'm addicted to coffee in a psychological way that is unhealthy.
Same.
So,
yeah.
Terrifying.
So it's obviously like a, this is what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And this is what could happen to you.
Yeah. Ugh.
And the way it's like, it's by Darren Aronofsky, who also did Black Swan.
Yeah.
The way he shoots it is like, makes it seem like it's
desirable?
The worst thing. No,
oh,
no, no,
oh,
no,
the
no.
opposite.
Yeah, it's like dark and it's creepy. I think you should watch it. I'll watch it with you. Also, the music is...
You'll watch it with me.
Oh my gosh. The music is... Maybe we should insert some music, like the soundtrack right here. Like, if you heard it, you would know... It's the did it. Nope, I'm doing it. No justice. So just play the clip. So it's just
that
inherently
is so
scary.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I love it, but. Okay, so I have one. I went in a little different direction because I know we had discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really fucking scary movie.
What?
Aaron Brockovich. That shit's scary, yo. That is scary shit.
Yeah, because it's real environmental.
And it does. Look at Porter Ranch. Like, for those of you who don't live in California, recently there was a, was it a gas
mine?
It was like a gas leak at a... I don't know what you call it if it's not a mine. Station? I don't know. Whatever. A place where you get gas out the earth.
Yeah.
And that shit's scary.
It is scary.
Because those people, they do not, they can't leave. Like, they can't.
It's just in the air.
It's just in the air. It's around your house. You can't leave. You can't go outside.
They had to evacuate people.
Yeah. And then, like, they basically, like, the plant said, like, oh, well, you know, the air is now fine, so you can go back to your house. But people are still getting sick. And that shit is scary because it could happen to anyone, anywhere. And the companies just have so much power over the way that they handle these disasters. And people get screwed over. And Erin Brockovich really scared me in that way.
So,
like, it happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere. And then you need someone to step up, like Erin Brockovich / Julia Roberts.
And it's, like, so sad in a way because it never ends. Like, Erin Brockovich, that movie came out how many years ago? And it's still...
Like, 2000?
Yeah. And it's so, like, at least 10 years ago, if not longer. And
16.
She's still working.
Yeah. When did it actually happen?
Erin Brockovich?
Yeah.
Like, IRL?
Yeah.
I don't know. The 90s? Let me find out.
Update. It came out in 2000 and I creepily... Well, I also was in a really big Julia Roberts phase.
No, no, your ability to conjure dates is creepy, by which I mean impressive. It was 1993 that the movie took place.
Okay.
So that was 23 years ago, and Erin Brockovich is still out there fighting the good fight, which, like, is so sad because there's still so much that is going wrong, and I don't know. That shit scares me. Like, especially now as a homeowner, like, the idea that someone could be like, oh, by the way, your house is, like, on a... Like, screw, like, the Indian burial ground exorcist shit. Like, your house is, like, on a fucking, like, I don't know, nuclear waste plant.
Right.
And you can't do anything about it. Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, that shit scares me.
That is very scary.
Yeah, thanks.
Just as just a side note that I didn't realize, but did you watch Hey Dude?
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I was making sure. The guy who played Mr. Ernst in Hey Dude was apparently Dr. Jaffe in Erin Brockovich.
What?
I don't
Can
like.
Can I get a pick?
This guy?
Oh yeah.
Well, you guys look it up on your own.
Yeah, we can vouch for
this. This is not a visual podcast.
Yeah, no.
Interesting. Sorry. Okay.
A visual podcast, isn't that just called television?
It's called a video podcast. There are video podcasts available.
What's the point of a video podcast? That's just a video.
Let's not put down our fellow podcasters.
This is a radio television program. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay, so another movie that I think is really scary is Gravity.
Oh.
Did you see that in the theater?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so did I.
Woo.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, nope.
I mean,
like that.
It was really good. It was a mistake in that it was so effective that I was
correct.
Like, I never had thoughts of being an astronaut, but definitely not after
that. I feel that way about the other one with Matt Damon.
The Martian?
Yes. Like, the same concept.
The great
of like
comedy, The Martian?
Like, yeah, that great comedy. Like, being left behind.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
I do
scary.
Not want to go into space.
No.
I'll feel that way. I feel that way also about scuba diving.
Sure.
I don't want to be in any space where I can't control my shit.
Yeah.
I don't. Ooh.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah, that's scary.
I remember seeing it in the theater and then, like, needed a moment to just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got outside, it was kind of, like, hard to walk almost.
Yes.
I don't know. It was weird.
It's like a physical experience. Like, ugh, I do not like it.
Yeah, it was
thumbs down.
I mean, the movie was good.
Correct.
The movie was good, but just the idea of like just all that space around you.
Yeah, ooh, I would think I would just freeze up and die.
Yeah,
you know what's another scary movie?
Yeah,
that I had on my list. Mine are all like I feel like super like
telling of your person.
Yeah, like like adult-ish in a different way than yours are like deep whatever. Yours are more like. Approachable for all people and mine
sure.
is like me whatever you know what I mean.
Yeah,
anyways, the point is another scary movie, Waiting for Superman. Do you ever see that movie?
No, because I feel like it's gonna make me cry a lot.
I cried the whole fucking thing. So for those
it's
of
on
you
my
who
list.
Don't know, it's a documentary about the school system in the United States, and it is fucking terrifying. I mean, I go back and forth because on the one hand I went to a school, my sister and I talked about this recently, we went to public school in Michigan, and for at least for high school, and I think there's like a 1 through 10 rating, and I think ours is like a 6 or something. I don't know, look it up. But the point is, it wasn't like a 9 or a 10 or whatever.
In terms
good.
Of academics,
yeah, whichever way is good. Like
yeah.
it was like fine. And we both went to good schools and turned out fine.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like, so I, the rating system can be right and wrong. And I think that my schooling was a good experience, if not like limited by different options because it was small.
Uh-huh.
But like, you watch that and you're just like, realize how many kids in the U.S. have been failed by our school system
mm-hmm.
in so many different ways. And it's terrifying
yeah.
to think that like, there's nothing really being done about it. I mean, obviously there is because they made the movie and there's like
sure
trying to, but I think that's one of the reasons I believe in public school so much. Like I didn't agree with everything he said because he talks a lot about charters and how charters, which can be good, but like I think that's not the answer necessarily. But ooh, scary.
Rough.
It's just scary.
Yeah.
Like to think that we live in America and the school system is not what it should be.
Yeah.
And no one's doing anything about it. Do something about it.
Yeah, do something about it. And then...
vote.
I was going to say, it just leads to other things.
Yeah.
Because then you have people who are uneducated.
Right.
And those uneducated citizens are making, not incorrect choices, but not the best choices.
Yeah, they're making poor decisions. Yeah. And they're not educated enough to learn any better.
Right. And it stems from childhood.
Yeah. Right?
So it's crazy. A vicious circle.
Yeah. And, like, school should be a safe space. And, like, if they're not,
right,
where is the safe space for those types of kids?
Right.
You know? Anyways.
So that's a bummer.
Fucking scary. Fucking scary. I am so afraid of ghosts.
What?
Like, okay.
Where did that come from?
So,
where did that honestly come from?
Well, I just, okay, you know how, like, when you talk about scary movies and people are like, oh, I'm afraid of the movies that could happen, like,
yeah,
the murdery ones?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a that. That doesn't scare me because either A, I would die kind of quickly, or B, I would fight back because you know me.
Yes,
like,
yes, you would definitely.
My fear is the soup, like the supernormal, like our supernatural. Supernormal.
Supernatural featuring Jared Padalecki.
Yeah. That shit scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like because you can't control it. And I just, I've had, oh, I don't like a ghost. I just don't, except for Casper, aka Devin Sawa.
Hey Meg. When I saw Meg, we were, cause it was like October and the fall times. And we were talking about how she was trying to, her and Kate were trying to explain Halloween to Ella, their daughter, who's like almost two. And she's like, what's a ghost? And she's like, well, it's like,
how do you explain that?
Yeah, it rises that's like from a dead person.
Well, and it's like, how do you also explain, that's a good point to like, how do you explain like, because, like, everyone has a different way of explaining, like, heaven
and death,
type of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, ghosts is, like, a whole nother realm.
Yeah. And, like, why do you have bats hanging around?
Right.
Like, that's just a large decoration, I guess.
Like, bats.
I was like, that's stuff I've never had to think about before.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah. Once you have a kid. The way you said that was, like, we're going to have to figure it out because I am pregnant and 9 months pregnant because I'm having a child next week.
Yeah.
Surprise!
I'm not.
All those things, like, what is a ghost?
What is a ghost? Oh, that's like a fucking Ella, if you're listening, a fucking terrible. Oh,
don't.
Does she listen to this?
Don't.
Meg, do you listen to this with Ella in the car? I hope not, because we swear so much. Write us and let us know. But regardless, Ella, ghosts can be friendly, like Devin Sawa. But if you see one, tell your mom.
If you see something,
say something. To what is it? Mama Train, Mama Choo Choo.
I love that you know that. Hey, everyone.
Mama Choo Choo and or mommy. Because they can help you figure out if
it's friendly
or not.
This.
Love you, Ella.
Okay. Love you.
Anyways,
that was, you have one more movie?
I do. So my last scary movie, which is, you're going to like roll your eyes at me, is The Big Short. Holy fuck, that's scary.
I just did the most dramatic eye roll. No, that is scary.
Scary shit.
It is scary.
Number one, scary that those people
exist.
Arguably knew something was going to happen and
didn't say anything.
Which, like, how would they have proved it? I don't really know. And made a much money off of it.
Yeah.
But also the fact that, like, I basically didn't understand anything that happened in the movie, really.
No,
like,
me either. Even though they tried to.
And yet I know that it affected my life, and that scares me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the idea that, like, there's a whole world of economics out there that, like, basically rules the way you and I live, and I don't really understand it.
Yeah. And in general, just the greed of people is also scary.
Oh, my God. I just can't. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I try to be pretty selfless, and I don't understand people who are not at least, like, halfway.
Right, right.
not the, to say I'm like perfect or anything, but like maybe it's my Catholic guilt of like, that's just how I feel. Like mm-hmm. it's not even like a choice at that point.
Yeah.
But like, how can you be that greedy?
I know.
I don't.
I think the epitome of it is those two guys that they met. Do you remember in the movie with the two banker guys?
Like when they
guys?
Were at the bar or whatever?
Yeah.
And then they were like those... laughing and he was like,
yes,
this isn't funny or whatever.
Yeah. That is the epitome of everything I hate in people.
And it's just like, how can you bet against your fellow man? Like that's the thing I don't get. I just don't. That's how I feel. That's the same way I feel about private schools in that way. Like I just got deep, but like betting against the public schools in that way, like fucking do something for your fellow man. And if you see something, say something.
What does it have to do with private schools?
Just like the fact that like it's greedy because it's, you're thinking only of your own family when you send your kid to private school instead of sending your kid to public school and potentially donating that money to the public school system. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like instead of choosing to do something to make something better, you choose to do the selfish thing and do something just for yourself. Okay. I mean, I get it. It's different with your kids because they're your kids and you want them to do great, blah, blah, blah. But this is where my communism comes out.
Yes. I was going to say, I mean, I went to a private school my entire life. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that if, here's my thing. If everybody took the money they gave to private schools and gave them to public schools, we wouldn't need private schools. That's my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think a large part of the reason we're going to get real deep here, guys. Okay. Large part of the reason that my parents sent me to private school / Catholic private school is because of the religion aspect.
Yeah, sure.
And they just don't teach that in public schools, obviously. So
yeah, and look how you turned out, though. I'm just kidding. I love
what
you.
Does that mean?
I just mean you're not religious in that way. I mean, I guess I don't know what the goal was. You're a good kid. Grown up. You're a good grown up. So I guess that moral part worked out for you. But I just think, like, again, if you put maybe parochial school is different, but those private schools that you spend like $35,000 to send your kid to kindergarten.
We also did go to a private college.
Mm. I think college is different, in my opinion, because not everybody do you want to get deep? Do you want to get into it? I think that that there should be public college for everyone, and it should be free.
Sure.
However, in the meantime.
But I'm just saying that we both attended a private college.
Yeah. I just think college is different because not everybody goes there and you don't have to. But because you are mandated by the state to go K-12, I think then there should be a way to do that in a way that is successful for all kids. And a better way to do that would be to either raise taxes or get higher donations. And a way to do that is if people actually send their kids to public school. You know what I mean?
Sure. I wasn't fully prepared for this
sorry.
argument, but my final stance is I think private school is fine.
I mean, that's fine.
But that's also because, again, I went to private school from K through the end of college.
Through the end of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the end. Guys, scary talk.
Scary talk. Private school and public school. Okay. Speaking of private school.
Yeah. How's this segue going?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about jobs?
Yes. Specifically, jobs that aren't appreciated enough.
Yeah, 100%.
I think part of the theme today, is, besides spooky scary, is underappreciated jobs, people, things,
places,
yeah. Nouns. Mm-hmm. So, Jenny, you've been wanting to talk about this for a while.
For so long.
So let's tell the people what they want.
Okay, so guys, I have a couple jobs for you we're going to talk today. I have five. This all stemmed from when I was at my neighborhood grocery store and there was this guy in there and he was wearing this like a uniform and it kind of looked like a security person, but it was / Boy Scout. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy? And he had a patch on his sleeve that was like, oh, I'm from the weights and measures like inspector. That was like what it said. And I was mm-hmm. like, what the fuck is a weights and measure inspector? And I looked it up and it's like the people who go to the grocery store to make sure that like when you get a pound of cheese at the deli, the pound is actually a pound.
Right.
Like they go around and they inspect like deli counters and those bulk bin things where you buy your quinoa and
that was just the example that you used was so LA.
Sorry.
The bulk container where you buy your quinoa.
Folks, yep. And the gasoline pumps to make sure a gallon is a gallon and the propane tanks where you get your grill stuff and the list goes on. The trucks that come in from the fields to measure how many fucking strawberries are in your pint of strawberries.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's really super underappreciated because in a place, because you, this goes back to my communist ways, in a place where you believe in, you know, your government and your people kind of doing you a solid, you forget that that's like a thing. Like you, I think people just take it for granted that like you're getting what you should be getting, but that's not always true. Like sometimes they're wrong. There was this, the thing a couple years ago where Whole Foods had to give a bunch of money back because it was underselling. I can't remember what it was. And they didn't do it on purpose. Like it wasn't malicious, but it was still happening. So yeah. Like, obviously there's a need for checks and balances in like having those people in that industry to like make sure that private corporations are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that's my first job. And from there, I thought, well, there must be other jobs that are underappreciated that are out there in the world. And there are. So here's another few. So the other one that I thought was really interesting was a UN interpreter. Those people.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So if you're a UN interpreter, you have to like, what's it called?
Translate?
Simultaneously. Like you have to listen and talk at the same time.
Oh, yes.
To like get it out.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah. Simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
English
folks,
is your second language. It is. You wouldn't be able to. Well, you might be able to if English. What's your first language? yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dreams. What?
Okay. Anyways.
Anything I was going to say was going to be lame. So if you are a UN interpreter, you have to have perfect command of one of the official languages of the UN. So English, French, Russian, or Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Russian. Interesting.
Oh, wait. I just lied to you. I'm sorry. I don't have the list of languages, but if you're an English, French, Russian, or Spanish interpreter, you also have to have oral comprehension of two other languages. So basically, you have to either know, like, let's say Chinese and English, or you have to know Spanish, English, and French. Or
sure.
Spanish, English, and Spanish. And if you are Arabic or Chinese interpreters, you have to also know in English or French.
That makes sense.
So basically, like, you probably have to know two, if not three languages. And you have to literally talk at the same time. So that, I mean, that's crazy. Like, think about, like, how many things the UN does for this world. And those people are, like, UN interpreters are
if they interpret it wrong.
Right. They're brokering the deals. Like,
yeah.
There's so many ways to say, like, so many things, so many idioms, so many misinterpretations of words. And
especially in multiple languages to know all
those. So it's not even like you're just like literally like straight up translating. Like we've all thrown something into Google Translate and then had it be completely wrong. Like you also have to understand like what it means, but what it actually means in that language, and then find the thing that it means in the other language you're speaking.
I think I've just decided what my superpower would be.
What would it be?
Just being able to know as many languages as possible.
I used to work with this girl when I was in China, and she was like, at the time was like maybe 30, not even like 28.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke English, German, French, Russian, and like partially Mandarin. And I think one other language. And I was just like,
that's crazy.
Like, she just, like, had an ear for language, and then she was, like, interpreting all these interviews. And I was just like, I don't understand how that's, like...
What a dream.
As you guys know, I can barely speak English. Like, what?
Oh, my gosh. That's like, partially why I kind of... Hold on. Backtrack. I've always been interested in different cultures, and I obviously speak English, but, like, I understand / know basic Filipino and, like, know Spanish, not... fluently. I took that one summer semester of French, but like
which you still know more than me, even though I took French for 4 years.
But I've always kind of had an ear for that type of thing. And when I applied to Northeastern, I wanted my major to be international relations. I could have had a totally different like trajectory here.
You'd be really good at that.
Thank you. But that would have been like a dream. Obviously, I didn't get into Northeastern, so
I'm glad kind of you a didn't moot point. Because you wouldn't be here.
Thank you. But yeah, so that is like a dream.
Yeah, I mean,
God bless all you UN interpreters.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your service to our world.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
So the
end of each of these is going to be, I appreciate you.
So another one that I thought of was fucking city planners. My God, those people are talented. So those people, first of all, to be an entry-level city planner, you have to have a master's degree.
Interesting.
Which, like, you wouldn't think that. And you basically go through and plan fucking cities and make them better. And, like, you have to, like, interpret, like, geological data and, like, where there are services and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Like, shit, I don't even understand. And, like, with that goes, like, all, like, city architects and, like, all the people involved in the city things. Like, what the... How? I don't even understand how you start to do that job.
Right. So what kind of major slash master's would you have to have
for
that?
It's literally like a master's in city planning.
Is it really?
And then you can have like a specialty. Like, so if it's like geology or whatever, geographic part of it, or like there's urban city planners versus like more like there's like urban forestry and forestry and all of those things. So like
I'm always interested with people who decide on majors that like I have no notion about, like that even was a thing. Like, how do you get into that?
Like, how are you like, oh, I really want to plan cities?
Yeah,
like I really like, for example, in LA, like if you drive down the street, like there's different trees on the street, like city property, like that shit's planned obviously, but like you wouldn't think of that. Or like sidewalk, I mean everything, sidewalks, alleys, like all that stuff, like is somebody had to plan that. And like in places like Boston, where the city's so old that it wasn't really planned in that way, like it's obvious, but like it's just so interesting to me that like how they adapt, and it's like they keep the city running underneath all that.
It's great.
It's crazy.
I appreciate you, city planners.
So the other one that I have that's similar is people who work in city services. So your garbage men, the LADWP, like all those folk who I liked it, who do the shit that we wouldn't want to do. Literal shit. Like, nobody wants that job, although maybe some people do and they're good at it. Yeah. And like, did you ever see the Magic School Bus episode where they go to the, like the waste treatment plant?
Probably. I don't remember it though.
It was amazing, and it taught you all about like filtration and like what's that water called? Gray water? Like in between? It's like you can't drink. Like,
I have no idea.
You can't drink it, but you could use it to like water your lawn or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the point is, those people have a really hard job, especially as cities expand. And I just think they're underappreciated. Like, people get mad that like their trucks are loud or the LED, like we have an outage with the LADWP and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? At the end of the day, those people, I was talking about this at book club and you weren't there, but if you have read the book Station 11, which you probably haven't, but if you out there, listeners, it's about, talk about scary. It's about a post-apocalyptic world where...
Is this fiction?
It's fiction. It's real. Where the thing that makes like us go into a post-apocalyptic world is a virus.
Great.
And it is the most realistic post-apocalyptic book I've ever read. Like, it literally is just like, what would happen if that happened? Like, what would happen to us if all of a sudden there was no infrastructure? And it's so fascinating to think, like, how would we live without, like, straight up live without power? Like, we would have to all learn how to live again.
Yeah.
And because, like, that type of thing, like, reminds me that, like, there's this whole, like, world of people out there who, even Jeff to some extent, like, I barely could set up this fucking stuff for the podcast. Like, there's this whole world of, like, people who just do shit that makes our lives easier. Happen.
Yeah.
And, like this morning there was a light out on Vineland and I was like, what the hell? Like, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, city services.
We appreciate you.
We appreciate you. My last one, typical of me.
Oh, God. What is it going to be?
Farmers.
Sure.
Those fuckers.
Oh, are you going to get into it?
I'm not going to get too much into it because I think I'm over. But okay. Guys, farmers, man, this summer I planted a bell pepper plant, a jalapeno plant, a tomato plant, some basil. And I grew, it took like 3 fucking months and it was like 6 tomatoes. How do they do it?
They have more space.
I'm just saying it's really hard. And you have to like think about all the stuff that you have to like, not only you have to grow it, right? You have to get the soil and then you have to like make it fucking taste good and harvest that shit. That's hard. I just have a new appreciation as somebody who grew 7 tomatoes in my backyard and they're like, it was a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Do you also want to touch upon avocados?
You guys, you know what's scary? Speaking of Halloween, there's an avocado shortage right now.
I don't know if you know it. Or maybe it's just California.
Well, do other people have as many avocados as we do on a regular basis anyways?
I mean, but you could still get it.
Yeah, true. But
I don't know where they would get it from, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we get our avocados from Mexico.
Probably still Mexico. I think Mexico makes most of the avocados.
Interesting.
The California avocados are in season right now, too, for a second. There's an avocado shortage because the Mexican farm workers are on strike. And that has resulted in no avocados at Trader Joe's. And it is a travesty. A tragedy as well.
It's
really bad.
You know who has... Why do I fucking know this? You know who has an avocado farm?
Who?
Tom Selleck.
Really?
Pretty sure.
We should go there. It's like, probably here.
Yeah, it's somewhere in California.
Like up north a little?
Yeah. Hmm. Anyways, he's probably hoarding. All...
I like how that's where we both were.
He's hoarding all the avocados.
Tom? Give us those avos.
Fucking Tom Selleck.
We need them immediately for our avocado toast. I know, right? Yeah. Anyways, those are just a few of my favorite underappreciated jobs.
We appreciate you, farmers. Sorry.
Thank you so much, farmers. If you guys have other underappreciated jobs, please feel free to write in because I know there's a million more out there. I could go on forever, but those are just a few of my favorite underappreciated jobs. The end.
Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome, Trace. Speaking of underappreciated jobs, Tracy, Jenny. I know that you want to talk about someone that we have long loved who is the unappreciated.
The unappreciated.
Or underappreciated.
Underappreciated.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Just kidding. That person is Mandy Moore. I don't know why we did that. So sorry, folks.
Oh, my God. So, yes. So, as I mentioned earlier, when you heard that song, Drop the Pilot, it is from her album Coverage, which is an album that came out circa 2003. Mm. And it's called Coverage because it's all cover songs she's reimagined. But let's just go back a bit.
Right.
Mandy Moore grew up. No, I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to start her entire life story. But basically, you guys know.
I know.
You've seen that music video for Candy.
It was on TRL.
That's how she first came onto the scene, and then she became known as a pop princess, along with the Britneys and the Christinas and the Jessica Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Kind of fell back a little because she wasn't as popular as them. But then she also started an acting career. But
how old is Mandy Moore?
She's 32.
What? That was really loud. I'm sorry. She's 32.
Yeah.
She's a baby.
I know. She's our age.
I don't think that I realize that. Isn't Brit a little older? Yeah. 34 or 35?
Brit's turning 35, I believe.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry. I really.
Wow.
Wow.
But the reason why I feel I've loved Mandy Moore for ever since Candy. I saw her in concert in 2008 when she did an acoustic version of Candy at the, what the hell is that place in Boston? The Paradise Rock Club on
That was my next guest. Mark Broussard.
Yes.
Josh Kelly. In Boston. Don't worry about it.
She did an acoustic version of Candy, and it was the greatest. But then she also did a cover of Umbrella. The point is that I've loved her forever. And if you've been listening to our podcast, every single episode, you know that we have been pitching / just telling everybody to watch This Is Us.
This Is Us. Watch it. It's so good.
Watch it. It's so good. Because she's back in front of your person.
Better than
finally,
ever.
Because she is underappreciated. She's been in so many pilots since, in the past 5 or 6 years.
So that's what she's been doing, her acting career?
Yeah, yeah. Her music has kind of taken a step back, but she's still doing it. She got married to Ryan Adams, and then they got a divorce.
So sad.
But, so she's been trying to, get a TV career, but all the pilots have, failed.
Ugh.
But finally, this one, This Is Us, has proven to be, obviously,
this is
the greatest. Yeah. And she's great in it. Milo Ventimiglia are my OTP, which we will talk about in the next episode of this.
Totally OTP.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just love them so much. They have such great chemistry together.
They do.
But it just proves that she has been one of those actresses / talents that just hasn't been appreciated as much.
No, for sure.
Because she just hasn't had a good enough break in terms of her acting.
Yeah.
So part of this is I've started Mandy Moore Monday, # Mandy Moore Monday on my blog, Cookies and Sangria. Feel free to pick it up yourself. But just a reminder to go back, take a look at all her work over the years.
Yeah.
So her movies, in addition to, she was on a couple episodes of Grey's some other things.
Yeah, I remember that.
Besides TV. But like, if you want to go back and like look at her movies, Saved is a great movie in general.
I still haven't seen that movie. It's so
I have a DVD. We can watch it.
Great. Okay.
It's so good. And that's this is like heard. When she was still blonde.
Yes.
Not like it exactly like her pop princess days, but like it was still great. Obviously, A Walk to Remember.
Oh my God, that movie.
Just, it was life changing for me.
So good. I could watch a movie 100 times.
I have it on VHS if you want to watch it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Like currently in my room. Great. It's fine. Also, Because I Said So, featuring just all the people. Have you seen Because I Said So?
I've never seen it. I know.
So this I need to start my own Mandy Moore. Yeah. Because I Said So features Mandy Moore, her sisters played by Piper Perabo and Lauren Graham.
Oh.
And their mom is Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton has a spoiler love affair with Stephen Collins, a.k.a. Rob Camden from Seventh Heaven.
Did this come out at the same time as The Family Stone?
Maybe.
I feel like they were the same movie.
They're not.
But I saw only one of them.
Yes. So you probably saw the SJP one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, it's not the greatest movie, but it's like stupid rom-com that I appreciate.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what else I really love?
What? Tell me.
License to Wed.
Oh my God.
Because it also features John Krasinski, my boo, and Robin Williams, RIP. But that's also such a great, that stupid, dumb, great movie.
Everything you're saying is true. That movie is so stupid, great, and dumb.
It's so good. I love it so much.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie in so long.
We should also watch that. Yeah. So good. But also, besides her movie work.
Mandy Moore Movie Mondays.
Mandy Moore Movie Mondays.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Sorry.
But also, like, if you're... want to go back to her music.
Yeah.
She hasn't released an album since 2009.
Wow.
Which is Amanda Lee. But she's had a clear evolution since Candy. Because it was Candy and then the song In My Pocket. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Which was also dumb, but obviously
whatever.
I loved it.
Still great.
And then Coverage, which was 2003, which is what I talked about. I'll post, I recently did a post for Mandy Moore Mondays featuring Coverage itself on my blog. I'll put a link to it. And then her next album was Wild Hope, and it kind of took on, so all these covers from Coverage were like 70s and 80s songs.
Mm-hmm.
So Wild Hope kind of piggybacks on that and is like hippie and ethereal and and then the other thing, if you want to like get real gung-ho on Mandy Moore Mondays, is follow her on Instagram and Snapchat.
Her fucking Snapchat is my favorite thing
so good.
In the world. It's so fun
She's and she does so a lot silly. Of back behind the scenes This Is Us stuff, so you'll see Milo
all
her boyfriend.
All the time. It's so good.
So, Mandy Moore, if you're listening, I love you so much.
We love you.
You've been such a bright light in my life. In a dark world.
I got to. But true.
Fun fact.
Yes.
Here's a fun fact about Mandy Moore.
Please tell me.
Her dad
mm-hmm.
is a pilot.
Really?
For American Airlines.
Can we currently, fly on his plane?
Currently, yes.
So you're telling me I could have flown in a plane with Mandy Moore's dad?
I'm telling you yes.
I hope so.
I mean, there are a lot of pilots.
I'm just going to say that I've done that. I'm just going to say. Last time I went to Boston. When we went to Ellen's wedding.
Yes.
He was the pilot.
Great.
I think we flew JetBlue, but it doesn't matter.
So the end. Mandy Moore. The Mandy-essence. Get on it.
Love you, Mandy. Bye. Okay. So we're at our normal segment, which is. So are we doing these like jobs if you had to be that job?
Correct.
Okay. Not jobs appreciating that person's
correct.
Job.
Correct. Because all clarify, the jobs that we're about to name
are important.
Mostly.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
And go. Firefighter.
Sorry. Hate it.
It's okay. It's okay. Pest control person.
Oh, hate it.
DJ.
Love it.
911 operator.
Hate it.
Basket weaver.
Love it.
Great.
Okay. Okay. My turn. Ready, Jenny?
Ready.
Okay. Way we go. Board game creator.
Love it.
Encyclopedia salesperson.
Oh, hate it.
Post woman.
Love it.
Soccer referee.
Love it.
Guitarist for Nickelback.
Oh, hate it.
That's what I meant by maybe not appreciated.
Uh-huh. Wow. Those were good.
The board game creator was the top of my head.
Board game creator. I would love to do that. I would love to create board games. I would love to be a encyclopedia salesperson, except for no one would buy them.
When Molly and I were in New York City, we went to the New York Public Library, and there was just like a whole bunch of encyclopedias, like the World Book ones where there's like a picture on the side and they all make one. And we were like, do people use encyclopedias anymore? It's kind of like a move.
I don't think so. I think you buy them online, you know, like you have a CD.
Right.
Or whatever, I guess. Remember not a CD Encarta? Anymore. Yeah.
Encarta 96.
Yes. Do I? Because when we were little, we had an encyclopedia kit. And I remember that was like the coolest.
What do you mean
thing.
A kit?
Like, or like we had the encyclopedia. Oh, like the whole, we were missing, I think, like L or something.
Sure.
We had the rest of them. Okay, hold on.
Okay, so we're back to another recurring segment of That's Our Jam.
We have some jams for you.
We have some jams.
Should you go first?
I can go first.
Yeah, go first. Jay, I see yours is better always.
Probably. My jam is, I briefly talked about this before when we were talking about TV shows, is Atlanta on FX featuring Donald Glover, my other boo.
Still haven't watched it, but it's on my list.
I think there's like only a few episodes left, so what I would do is just binge it.
Yeah. How many episodes are there?
I think there's probably like 12 or 13.
Okay, but not 21.
No. Okay. And it got picked up for a second season already.
Awesome.
After the first episode, because it was one of the highest rated shows for FX in a while. It's hard to describe. I would say it's a comedy. It's a drama. It's a weird... It's like, okay, so the best way to describe it, I guess, is because it's created by and stars and written by and occasionally directed by Donald Glover, it's a culmination of everything that he's done since he started his career.
Oh, interesting.
So he used to write for 30 Rock, and he was also on, obviously, Community, and he's had his hip-hop career. Just so... Think of the oddness and like the creativity that came out of 30 Rock. He also went to, oh my God, I'm pretty sure this is correct, NYU.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. Sure. I feel like I need, can we quickly look that up? Because I feel like I should know everything about him, but he might not have gone to NYU.
No, he did.
Okay, so he did go to NYU. So he has that background of like going to NYU.
Sure.
At times the show feels kind of absurdist and like feels like a play, but also like it's funny and it's real, and like in his hip hop and just in general, as hip hop artists tend to do, talk about like social issues.
Yeah.
Like in the first episode alone, it dealt with like gun control and like sexism and, you know, trans issues and just every single issue that you can think of.
That's amazing.
Is in it. So basically he plays this guy named Earn. He is struggling to like live. He has an on again, off again girlfriend, and they have a bebe. So he also has a cousin who is a rapper, and he decides to be his manager. He's like an up and coming rapper in Atlanta, so that's how he's also trying to get money.
Got it.
This last week there's an episode called BAN, which stood for Black American Network or something.
Sure.
It was basically like an entire show that was pretending to be like a roundtable Charlie Rose type show.
Oh, interesting.
Do you remember that episode of Parks and Rec of Johnny Karate's?
Yes.
Where it was just like as if it was an episode of Johnny Karate.
Yes.
It's kind of like that.
Oh, interesting.
And they had like fake commercials that dealt with like police brutality, but like covered in like a cartoon cereal commercial.
Oh, interesting.
Everything about it, like, it's just so good, guys.
Yeah, like, so good and different.
And like, touches on issues. Oh, there's also an episode where Justin Bieber is a character, but it's played by a black person. And
that's weird,
they don't even mention or make reference because they just want to... It was a comment on, like, how we perceive people and how we would perceive, say, Justin Bieber if he was black.
That's really interesting.
But they didn't even mention that he was black. Anyways, everyone watch Atlanta. I could talk about it. If you want to talk about IRL, please get at me.
Great.
Jenny?
Mine is definitely not as cool as that. My jam is the app. We do apps a lot, but I don't care. I'm just here for the people. My jam this week is an app called Todoist, and it is a to-do list app. And I'm obsessed with it.
Great.
It is great. I use it for work and basically and for the blog. And basically what it is you can organize your to-do list by day and then you can organize it by project. So for me at work, I have a lot of clients, so I can organize them all by client.
Great.
There's also a lot of features you can have if you like buy it, but I have not. Like, you can organize it into like reminders and all that jazz. But it's just like a way to organize what you have to do any day, and you can like make them reoccurring, or you can make them, you know, like come back like once every other day or once in a month, whatever. And it's really helpful for me to organize my shit, especially for the blog, when you're like, I have to edit photos and then I have to add, like, write the posts and go on Facebook and Twitter and blah, blah, blah. There's a phone app, but then you also have a desktop app, which is important to me because, as you know, in this world, you're in front of a computer all day, but then you have your phone too. So it's great for like when I'm in meetings with people and I need to like go back and make sure that I've asked that specific person everything. Like, you can keep it by person or however you do your shit.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with it.
That's great. I would like to see this, as previously discussed.
I will show you it to you right now.
Okay.
But before we do that,
we're wrapping up.
I have some things to say.
Oh, what?
So, like, we have to thank some people.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's.
First of all, I want to thank, and sorry we didn't do it last time, but I guess y'all didn't know, but I would like to thank Michael Marsupian.
Yes.
For letting us borrow his microphone.
We borrowed a mic from Mike, guys.
Borrowed a mic from Mike. So we may or may not have... I don't think we broke it, but the
what? No, first of all, I'm not using it. Jenny's using it, so I didn't do shit.
I'm just saying the mic that we had before stopped working, and it was terrible because it was the morning that we were going to record, and luckily Mike was selfless and let us borrow his. So we're using it right now, actually, again. But I just
people don't care.
They don't care. But I just want to say thanks.
Thank
Mike.
You, Mike.
Love you
for the mic.
You can find him on the internet, I think. Maybe, I don't know.
He sings.
So anyways,
also we want to thank Megan Roy for our lovely illustrations. You can check her out at megan-roy.com.
And we'd like to thank, as always, Steve for our delicious what? So sorry, let me say that again. So hot. Okay. And we'd like to thank Steve for our theme music. Thank you, Steve. As always, we love it and you.
So you can check us out at
thatsourjampodcast.com. Okay. Cool.
Also, review us on iTunes. I know that our 3 of our 5 listeners have already. You other two need
get
to
on
get
it,
on it.
You two. We know who you are. Yeah. Please. And you can find me on garlicmysoul.com and all the social media, especially follow me on Instagram because that's what I use the most.
Yes, and it's great. You can follow us on me, not me and Jenny, but yes, also all of them. CookiesandSangria.com and all the social media. Also follow us on Instagram, CookiesSangria, because we have 52 awesome. Followers.
It's great. It's
just,
really.
We don't update it that often. But just do it so we have more followers.
Do it. Also, they live. I feel like you guys live tweet the debates. Yeah.
We try it's to really do live events. So, yeah, actually, if you want to follow anything, follow us on Twitter.
Their Twitter is hilarious.
Thank you.
So fun.
Yeah. So that's another episode, penultimate episode wrapped. Yeah. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Tracy, as always.
And we'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.